Obviously, it's a spoof. That's my brother-in-law. He does our children's ministries. He's an awesome actor. We just want to make light of the point that small groups are really just a place for you to have some relationship, to learn some good things from the Bible. Whatever it is, there's a whole plethora of different things you can be learning this semester. But we want you to get plugged in. In fact, the Bible talks about getting plugged in. I mentioned this just a couple weeks ago, this idea that we see even in the world, they realize that community is important. Even Frodo or Neo or Dorothy, SpongeBob, Jesus had 12. Everybody has a group. Even the Lone Ranger had somebody, right? They understand the importance of smaller group community. The question I have for you is, where is yours? Where's your smaller community that you can be honest with, that you can pray with, that they know you? I've just got to be very honest again. Even recently, we had a couple that I love it dearly left our church because some things happened in their life, and I was actually out of town, and they were offended because they didn't feel like people loved on them enough. Now, I've seen this before. This church is one of the most generous and loving churches I know. It's the only church I know. I started it. So this is one I know, but I'm just saying, I know that's not true. What they think is not true. And I lost sleep. You can ask my wife over that. And I'm begging them, please, let's talk. And they're gone. And here's the deal. They were not in a small group. They weren't committed to relationship. So people around them didn't know. Then it falls on me, and I guarantee you I will let you down. I guarantee it. In a church this size, I cannot promise you that I'm going to meet every need you have. I can't. That's crazy talk. But your small group is there for you. A week before that, or 2 weeks before that, I mentioned there's a need in a small group. If somebody had a need I heard about, and I communicated to their small group, a financial need within 24 hours, they had well over $8,000 that came in to help that family in their small group. Now, I'm not saying that happens all the time either. I'm just saying if something goes wrong, if you have a need, I can't be there to meet all your needs. That is not the paradigm. That's not the type of church we are. I train leaders, and I have good leaders in small groups that deal with most of those issues, and the tougher issues come up, Lion, for sure. And I am here, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I will blow it. So I am passionate about this topic. This is not just theoretical. This is on the ground, boots on the ground. This happens. People are leaving because they weren't connected. And that breaks my heart, and that keeps me up at night. So when I share this, I'm sharing from my heart. You need this. And I'm going to go through this quick so we can have time to have small group leaders come up and share with you opportunities you have to get connected in a small group. So, it says in Psalm 34, glorify the Lord with me. Let us, not let me, let us exalt his name, what? Together. God wants us to worship and seek him together in order to accomplish all that God has for us. And God has a plan for the church. In fact, over 79 times the Bible mentions church, the word church, and we'll talk about that. So the question you have, most people have this in their mind. When we think of church, we think of this. In fact, you'll go down the street and go, well, there's the Rock Church. They point at the building, and I always want to stop them and say, that's not the Rock Church. That's a building with a Rock Church sign on it. This is the Rock Church, not these chairs. I'm talking about you. You, together, we are the Rock Church. We're a local expression. There's other churches in town, local expressions that make the church in whole, the church worldwide. We make up the church. This is the local expression. God has a plan for the church. This is part of it. We look at the New Testament examples, and they did meet in large groups at the temple quite often. It seemed like they almost met every day. Thousands of people would meet together, but they also met in small groups. It's not just this. We see lots of examples, and I'll show you today, that they met in small groups, okay? So we're going to look at God's plan for small groups today, because most of us get this, because you're here. You got to understand what God's plan is for small groups. So we're going to look at that. Three reasons we should be in a small group, okay? Three reasons we need small groups. And then, again, there'll be a practical. You'll get to hear from small group leaders and actually sign up at the end. So it's a very practical message. Let's just pray. I want to get this done in good time here. Let's ask God to bless. Lord, I do pray that this morning that you would just tune our hearts up to you to hear what you have for us. I don't want anyone ever again to leave feeling like people don't love them or people aren't And I pray, God, as much as it depends on us, we do our part, every one of us. But God, for sure, let's not have that happen with people that have chosen not to be intimate and close with other people that know their needs. I pray that all of us would be connected, because we'll all have those moments. And not only that, we need to be encouraged. There's so many reasons why we need a smaller community. And this isn't just talk, this is reality. This really needs to hit hearts today, so I pray that you would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you have the blanks? Three reasons we need small groups. Number one, we need people to adequately survive. As I mentioned, a smaller group. This is good. I'm not downplaying the importance of the large meeting, but it's not enough. This is not enough, in my opinion. And I think the Bible agrees with that. This idea of needing people to survive, it is an actual thing that happens. In fact, in Romanian orphanages, at the end of the Cold War, when, how do you say his name, Ceausescu, whatever, that guy that, well, he was a leader of the communist bloc there in around Romania, he had some crazy ideas about having lots and lots of kids that would strengthen his empire. Well, he was killed, and they found 130,000 orphans in orphanages in Romania who were inadequately cared for. In fact, some of them, the only interaction they got was to get fed or changed. They didn't get hugged. They didn't get loved on. They didn't get talked to. They didn't get FaceTime interaction. And some of these kids were toddlers, and they're still in diapers in their cribs. And they found there was an anomaly. They call it, there's actually a name for it. It's called, let me turn back here. It's called failure to thrive syndrome. You can look it up on YouTube. Google. And it is a real thing. There are psychological problems with these kids and emotional problems. Can you imagine that? Never being hugged as a baby. They are emotionally backwards because they didn't have community, even as a baby. Here's the deal. Christians, we can have the same syndrome. We don't get all that we need right here. Not with 5 minutes of talking to somebody in the lobby and drinking a cup of coffee. That's not enough. We need more. Otherwise, we will not thrive as Christians. We need to be involved with other people at a much more intimate level. We can be the same thing. So here's what I want to say. Small groups function like a spiritual family where we get that FaceTime, that interaction, those hugs when we need them. We need to be able to share and help other people. And it happens in the New Testament. That's our example. The New Testament says things like this. It talks about these house churches or homes. And I've been to Israel a few times, and I've been in the ruins of homes right around where Jesus hung around. And these homes are not very big. So we're not talking more than 20 people or 30 people, the most that could even fit in some of these homes. But here's what the Bible says over and over. In, for instance, Romans 16, verse 5. Paul says, greet also the church that meets where? At their house. 1 Corinthians 16, Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. Colossians, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and Nympha and the church that meets in her house, a church meeting in a house. To Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in their home. We see the example of the large church, a large setting. It's there, and we do that. And it's good to get instruction as a group. But this is so important that we are meeting in homes or smaller groups. It's important for us as Christians, and if we don't, we will be backward emotionally and spiritually. We won't get all that we need. In fact, I like to say the Christian life is caught, not taught. People have asked me in the past, you know, I've got a work situation. This happens from time to time. I have to work on Sunday morning or the time my small group is meeting. I got a choice to make. So they asked me, Bill, what should I do? Should I work on Sundays or should I work on Wednesdays? Which one should I go to? And I always say, so if you ever have that question, here's my answer. Go to your small group. Skip church. Work on church day if you have to and go to your small group. It's more important because you can get this message online. We videotape everything. It's all online. You can get it. Now, this is important. I'm not saying skip this. I'm saying if you can do both, do both. But it's more important, in my opinion, to get the small group. It is more important to be in fellowship with other men and women. You see, God's plan, whoops, what was that? That was my, I didn't even talk about that. Let me go back. Not sure why it's not going back. Christian life is, this is my first small group that I led way back in like 1983 after I became a Christian. This was a group that they put me in charge of, and this guy is now a pastor in Minneapolis. These two were the first in our movement to move to Kiev, Ukraine, and started a church. We have several churches now in Kiev, Ukraine. Scott and Linda, he led me to Christ, actually, in 1981. A lot of these guys are up in Minneapolis. They went to the Minneapolis church to help strengthen that. When Minneapolis has just had a few people, now they have thousands of people. But this was my first experience with leading a small group. And every one of them, we'd see each other, we'd still have a relationship, and this was over 30 years ago. That's what a relationship does. That's what a small group can offer you. It's like a family. It's also God's plan for a Christian community, as we'll see in these verses that we'll talk a lot about today in Acts 2. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. That's like this, a big group. Every day they met there in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They did them both, big meeting, small meeting. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. This is what we get. It's a community. It's large and it's small. It's both. We need them both. It's like an airplane doesn't just need one wing. It needs both wings to soar. And I believe as Christians, we need the large group and we need the small group to soar. And a lot of Christians are just doing circles. Just doing circles because they think this is enough. And I'm just telling you again, I'm telling you, it's not. It is not enough. So, again, there are no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. That's the point. No Lone Ranger Christians. You can't do it on your own. Don't come to me and say, oh, I go to the mountains and that's where my church is. I say, well, that's great. And I love the mountains too, but it can't stop there. Don't give me that. That's a bunch of baloney. It has to be in community. And the smaller, the better. All right? So that's the first thing. We need people. Whoops. Number two, we need fellowship to be fully alive. Fellowship. Again, we have our picture of what fellowship is. It's a half a donut and a cup of coffee. That's what we think of fellowship. It's so much more. The Bible speaks of fellowship, really the word koinonia, that's the word for fellowship. It means participation, sharing, partnership, and communing together, communion. I like what Mel Lawrence says. He says, elements of koinonia, such as sharing material goods, sharing in ministry, and being partners in the gospel are rooted in the spiritual reality of a connection between believers that is based on their connection to Christ. That koinonia that the Greek word speaks of, fellowship, partnership, participation, sharing. Rick Warren says it this way, fellowship is a place of grace where mistakes aren't rubbed in, but they're rubbed out. Fellowship happens when mercy wins over justice. And I just want to break down those verses in Acts real quick to show you what fellowship looks like, because we see in the book of Acts the very beginning of the church age, and we see what they did, and we try to imitate that to a large degree. So let's just look at it. First thing we see is that the church witnessed God's goodness together, not as individuals, but together. In Acts 2:43, it says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostle. They had spiritual history together. They shared common experiences and a common faith. And I can look at many people in the audience today and say the same thing, that I have witnessed God's goodness with you. Some of you for up to 15 years or more. Some of you have been around for 10 years or more, and we have experienced God's goodness together. Have we not? Doesn't that bind our hearts together? And that's what fellowship does. That's what the community does. And we see it happening in the book of Acts. Here's another thing we see. They shared material possessions together. Acts 2:44-45 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling the possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had a need. And we're not talking about communal living here where you sell everything to give everything to your leaders and you just get a paycheck. No, that's not how it works. As there's a need, we're generous and we help each other in a family. That's what we do, and that's what they were doing, all right? So that can come in the form of helping when there's a death in the family and your small group rallies and behind that family and make some meals, or we have a great meals ministry for people that are having babies or sick. You know, we love the Sign Up Genius. All those things online are very helpful. We're talking about helping people with furniture, with money, with support when there's needs. That's what a fellowship will do. And it comes down. We'll do it as a church, big church, but we also emphasize it with our small groups. What else do? They worship together. They honor God together. Acts 2:46 and 47 says, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So again, they didn't just meet as a social club. They met to worship God with a purpose, to learn from their spiritual leaders like we do here. Here's another thing. They experienced life together. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together. That's what it says. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And it is so important. That's one of the best ways to get to know people, is just have them over for a meal. Doesn't have to be super fancy. I love times we've gone to people's houses and you know, they're just serving whatever they're having, and I love it, whether it's just, you know, some tacos or, you know, I don't think we ever had pancakes, but that's the idea. It's just like, and just join our family. It's like, yes, that's what we want to do. And we do the same thing. Just come and enjoy fellowship. There's just something about being at a meal together, isn't there? There's just something about that. So I want to encourage us, just be reaching out, having people over to your house, have a simple meal with them. It's how we've trained our kids how to interact with people, even to ask them questions. And we have games we play, and the kids are getting old, and they don't like the games anymore because it's embarrassing to them. But we have our kids ask one question. Every kid gets to ask them any question they want. And it's usually about, you know, what's your favorite movie, what's your favorite food. It's things like that, but it's fun to get to know people, all right? Have a meal together. That's what the early church did. They experienced life together. Last point. Again, I'm going to go through this quick. We need small groups to utterly thrive. So to adequately survive, to be fully alive, and finally to utterly thrive. Again, you might be saying to yourself, you know, Bill, I can be a Christian, and I know people that say they're Christians, but they don't need to go to church. They don't need the institution. They don't need all that. And again, I'm going to caution you that I don't think that's really true. I don't think it's biblical, and I don't think it's going to help you at all to think, I could just be a Christian just on my own. I don't need all this other stuff. Well, you do need it to mature, to persevere in fellowship. You need it. It says in Hebrews, in fact, let us not give up meeting together. Let's not do that, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the Bible's pretty clear. Let's not give up meeting together. It's important, according to the Bible, that we meet together. And don't put that off on the back burner, but make an effort. Are there times you feel like, man, I just don't even feel like going today. It's not comfortable. It's not easy sometimes. I'm tired. I've got lots to do. Your pastor feels that way sometimes. I'm just, to be very honest, I don't want to be around you guys sometimes. I don't. I'm sorry. I just don't like you sometimes. I don't. Can we be honest? Can a pastor be honest? Is that okay? That's just once in a while. Or every time I'm driving to church, I'm praying, God, help me love these people. That's an honest prayer, and I do it. I pray it almost every time. Here's the deal. Because my flesh is just like your flesh. I just want to be alone. I don't get energized by you. You drain the heck out of me. But here's the deal. I make the choice to love you. And I have for 33 years made choices to love people. And this is the fruit of it. Part of it. It's not all me. I'm just saying I get to choose every day to love people. Never easy. But I choose it. I choose it. I'm not going to stop meeting together or meeting with guys and having small groups or having this. I'm not going to stop because the Bible says it's important and I know it. And I got to step out in faith. And so do you. Some of you need to step out in faith and say, we're going to try it this time. I'm just going to challenge you. Give it a try. Sign up for one of those groups today, okay? Because community has benefits. Ecclesiastes says it this way. Solomon says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We need each other. And not just casual, you know, surfacey relationships. It's easy to kind of live there, and those have their place, but we need more than that. I like what it says, and I think I have the verse. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Again, in those relationships, there's things that we learn that we will not learn if we're out of community. If we're just by ourselves, kind of hunkered down in our home and never really interacting with people except for Sunday mornings. We can think it's easier, but the Bible says there's a value in rubbing shoulders and even having conflict at times. There's value if we handle it correctly. It sharpens us. That's a good thing. Here's some good quotes I stole from Greg Johnson. Snowflakes are frail, but if enough of them get together, they can stop traffic. Isn't that good? Think of it. Community. We can do a lot of good. It can help us if we stick together. And then the African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. You want to go fast or do you want to go far? I'm in it for the long distance, the Christian life. I'm going to do it with other people. I hope you will as well. Let me just share with you the New Testament models small groups. And I'll just say this, there are over 58 verses in the New Testament that say one another. We call them the one another verses. One another, love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another. 58 times. So if you're alone in the mountains and just wearing a brown robe and just chanting every morning in your cave, all alone, that may be what God called you to do, but you're not going to be able to obey 58 verses in the Bible for sure. Because you can't love anybody. You can't pray with someone. You can't help someone. You can't forgive someone. You have to do that in community. So here's just a few examples of those verses that you can't obey by yourself. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. How is the world going to see that we're disciples? I love you, you love me. But when things get hard, we just kind of go our ways and I just leave the church, or is that how it works? No, you work through it. And the world goes, they're disciples of Christ. That's why they're working through that. But you can't do it alone. Romans 14 says, therefore, stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind. Make a choice not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Again, you can't do this in a vacuum. You have to be around other people to even obey this verse. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. There it is again. There's a benefit to being around other people and obeying the one another verses. I accept you. We may not be exactly alike, but I accept you. Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. How do you do that in a cave? How do you do that on a mountaintop? How do you do that in your home by yourself? You can't. You can't teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, you really can't do that. So here's my conclusion. Is this, don't become a spiritual orphan. Not in this church. Don't become a spiritual orphan. Don't have the habit of not meeting in smaller groups, men and women. Don't do that. So here's what we're going to do. I want to end quick so we can have time for small group leaders to come up. And the way we work is, and you can start coming up, guys. I'm going to pull this back a little bit, or one of you small group leaders can do that. This way our small groups work is we have a free market small group system. We don't have a system where everybody does the same small group on the same night over the same materials. That's a fine system. And as a former engineer, I go, I love that idea. We have discovered over the years that with families and whatnot, you need a little more flexibility and a little more variety. So we have what we call a free market. These guys have figured out what they want to lead a small group on. I didn't tell them. Well, I told a few of them. I asked a few of them. And they're going to lead the small group. It could be a video curriculum. It could just be a Bible study. It could be Financial Peace University. It could be a number of things. And you'll see it in your directory. There's a whole slew of different types of small group. It could be a prayer time. That's a small group. They pick it. They lead it. And it's a beautiful thing because they're passionate about it. They want to help. So in your directory, you'll see all the information you need. But I also want to have them briefly. Could somebody bring up, or honey, could you bring up the mic there? We'll have them describe briefly. I'm going to go Sunday through Friday. Okay, so that's how we're going to do it. I've actually got a slide for each one of you guys. I had a little extra time yesterday. So we're going to talk about small groups, spring semester. I'm going to let them share with you briefly, just real briefly, because everything's in your group and it'll be on the slide. But afterwards, go back, talk to them, sign up. It doesn't secure you for, you know, the rest of your life in their group. It just means I'm possibly interested. All right? So first one we're going to look at is our small group, and it's currently full. Not a fan. I wanted to put it up there anyway. Sorry, we're full, but this is a great small group that we've had going, and all the people are going to hang around and be a part of our group again. So this is something exciting. This is a not a fan video curriculum that we're going to start all in Spanish. So where is Felipe? Come here. He's going to be our, I think this is the start of a Spanish ministry. That's what our vision is, but let you explain it.
Right, and he wants me to say it in Spanish.
I do,
first,
so. Talk in Spanish.
Make sure not to talk about you, right?
That's right, I'll find out.
Okay, so here goes in Spanish first. So, esta es nuestra primera reunión en español, pero el libro que se llama Not a Fan, No Soy un Fan. Y si usted habla español, este es un grupo, nos vamos a reunir para conocernos, para tener tiempo como familia y crecer en el Señor. Okay? Yeah. So this is the very first group in Spanish, and it's going to be about the Not a Fan book, and it's going to be about getting to know the Lord in relationship also with one another and with the Lord, and see the difference between a fan and a true follower. So,
amen.
That's it.
All the information up there, Sundays.
Yeah, that's all the information right there.
Yep.
We're going to be on that corner right there. There's right. Candy.
Okay. All right. Paul Zicardi, are you here? There we go. So, Paul's got one on Sunday. Step right up.
Okay, so our small group is based on the video series by Emerson and Sarah Egricks. And if you've not done this study before, I know we did it as a church in the past. And if you're relatively new, or if you want a refresher, this is our third or fourth time doing it. We learn something every time. We deepen our relationship every time. If you're a couple or you're looking to get married, to me, I've learned more from this study than just about any other study, although I'm going to really plug Tom's too. If you don't go to ours, go to Tom's.
Okay. All right.
Oh, and then there's the times. It's about an hour after Sunday service. This is our home. We don't have child care, but we have dogs, so bring treats, okay?
All right. Next, Squires, their group is actually full. They're going to be doing Experiencing God. So this is Chris and Shauna Berger. Chris, you up here? There we go.
Hello. So my small group is balancing life's demands. Life can get real busy and can get hectic, so you can get distracted. But what this does is go through biblical priorities and helps you stay with your relationship with God, not only for the short term, but for the long term. We're on Sundays, every other Sundays from 2 to 3:30. There's our home address, and we have childcare, and we serve treats and coffee, so we're trying to practice balance. So,
very good. Just so you know, the maps there are all based off of our location right here, our church. So for the Burts, you can see down the bottom, that's our church location, so that's in relation to where we're at right now. So they're up north, and just so you know that. All right, next, we have the Raymers. Larry, are you here? Yes.
Do you want to explain what this is?
So I want to explain. Basecamp is a new thing that I've asked a few groups to do. This is especially if you're new with us. This is designed for you. It's a video curriculum that I am developing as a church to give you the basics, fundamentals of Christianity, and kind of an introduction to our church. So we made a whole small group out of it. I really want the culture of our church to be, have you been through Basecamp yet? We want to offer this every semester. For those that are new or interested, so I've asked three small groups to please take up the mantle and run with this. I'm creating the videos as we speak, and this will be a fantastic way for you to get a real solid base in your Christian life, to figure out Christianity, to grow in your faith, and give you the next step. If you're thinking, what's my next step in my Christian faith? Well, it's Basecamp. Because Basecamp is where you get equipped and where you get locked arms with other people that are on the adventure with you. Isn't that what Basecamp's for? You get equipped. You get everything you need. That's the goal of Basecamp. So the Raymers, we have three of them. Raymers are one of them that are leading their group. So you can give a little bit about your specific group, and then okay. Same with the others.
Okay, so Tony got out of this one by teaching Sunday school. So I wasn't prepared for this, but we meet. We have an awesome group, so they're going to stay, and we'd love anybody to join us. We meet on Sundays at 2 o'clock. And that's our address. And we can do childcare if needed, and we always have awesome food and tears and laughter and all sorts of good stuff.
Okay. Go on to, whoops, what happened there? All right. Why is it? There, pass. It doesn't want to stay there for some reason. Every Man's Monday, which I can't get it to stop. That's awesome. Oh, there it is. We meet first Monday of every month, except this month because of Super Bowl. But man, this is where we learn how to be better leaders in our home and at work and with our kids and our wives. So I encourage you, come. It's a great place to meet new guys. Not this month, but every other month, first Monday of the month at 7 o'clock. All right? And you bring the treats to that one. My wife also kind of leads out with Ladies' Night. It's the third Monday. It's kind of the mirror of Every Man's Monday. And they're actually meeting. Yeah, you want to come up here? Yeah, go ahead. I knew she wanted to talk. There we go.
You can't have a man do a Ladies' Night announcement. Ladies' Night is probably one of the best things that this church does. We love it. If you have an interest in getting to know other women, getting to know the Lord, this is what you want to come to. So it's the third Monday of every month. The only exception is in February. We're going to be doing the second Monday because of President's Day. So you come here. It's fellowship. We always cry. Well, you don't have to cry, but it's an opportunity to be real with other women and hear from the Lord and get to hear the lives of different missionary women. So if you at all are interested, we would love to have you. So just come and bring treats and be prepared to have your life changed.
Amen. All right. So are anybody here for this one? No? Okay. So this is Girls Rock. You want to talk about, anybody want to talk about it? It's 6:30 p.m. West Jordan every other Monday. So that's a good one. That's been popular. Also, base camp, another base camp, the McGuire's. Gary woke up throwing up this morning, so he's not on stage. Yeah, so pray for him. But he's also doing one of our base camps. So again, this is all in your directory. We've got Tiffany, are you here? There we go. She's going to do a great class, Financial Peace University, which really has blessed a lot of people.
Financial Peace University, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it. And I'm hosting down in Saratoga Springs, just from Dave Ramsey's site. Our society tells us that debt is no big deal, but those of us who are in debt know that it's simply not true. It's time for us to stop believing the lie that we have to borrow money and eventually pay back even more to have the things that we need and want. Some of you may not have any debt at all, and whether you're in debt up to your eyeballs or completely debt-free, Financial Peace University will teach you how to beat debt and build wealth, how and where to save and invest, and how to plan for retirement, and much, much more. The class will walk you through the process step by step and show you how to get there no matter where you are right now. We will meet Tuesdays, Saratoga Springs. It's a 20-minute drive from this location. Tuesday nights, I'll have a soup and bread dinner. So I hope to see you.
Amen. All right. I don't know what's going on here. Sorry. Stevensons, are they here?
Jenny.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, my name's Jenny. My husband Justin and I are going to be leading a small group here on Wednesday nights at 6:30, and it's about transitions from Mormonism to biblical Christianity, more or less. So if any of you come from a Mormon background and are interested in getting together in relationship with people who have the same experience as you and growing your relationship with God, and even if you don't have that experience but you're interested in learning more about that experience so you can be more sensitive to your Mormon family or friends, neighbors. We'd love to have you.
Awesome.
Oh, we have childcare available as well.
And it's Wednesday, 6:30. Okay. And you're right here?
Yep.
Okay. Also, Martins? There we go, Jefferson. Wednesday night?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jefferson. I'm leading this small group. It's called Foundations. It's basically a walkthrough of systematic theology, and don't let that intimidate you. It's led by R.C. Sproul. It's a series of messages. He's an amazing teacher. We go into a lot of in-depth stuff, A to Z in theology, and we've got a really good group so far. We've actually already started, but don't let that discourage you. Actually, another one, don't let it discourage you, but the brother-in-law feels actually a part of our group, and we've reined him in. He's not quite as bad anymore, so he's actually a good guy. But we've got a few people, and again, we've already started. We're meeting at 7 o'clock at the building in the Holy Word Theater. We usually have popcorn. Phil makes some amazing popcorn, and coffee's available and tea. But each message is about 22 minutes long. Sometimes we'll do two. Most of the time we will, because there's a lot of messages, but each message stands alone. So, you know, if you're going to join our group, don't worry about the fact that you've missed some of the messages. The other thing is that you can go back online and you can see the ones that you've missed. They're all available along with the study guide information and all that. But, yeah, really look forward to meeting some of you guys if you choose to join.
Amen. So lots going on Wednesday night at the church building. And even though it's systematic theology, how can you not have fun with Jen and Jefferson? It'll be a blast. And Phil.
That's true.
Okay?
Phil, yes.
So Thursdays, let's move to Thursdays. That's you guys again, right? Thursday morning? No, it's not. Did I have the wrong name? Band of Brothers. Sorry about that.
All right. So I'm Tom Jackson, and I co-lead this with Jeff Porter, who's in the back. We meet Thursday morning, 6:30, in the adult education room in the back. And we're focusing on, as men, we're fellowshipping together, and we're focusing on prayer for our church, for our pastors, prayer needs within the church, our youth group, other ministries. And we just feel like, as men, this is something that God would want us to do to help us lead in and just seek God's will in our church.
Amen. A lot of good fruit coming out of that group. So if you're interested, how long does it last typically?
It lasts an hour.
An hour, okay.
We're good at being done at 7:30.
Awesome. Very good. So youth group, you want to talk about youth group as well, Tom?
Absolutely. Bill and I facilitate the parent-led youth group. And just yesterday, I hadn't thought about this until I came up, but just yesterday I had a haircut with a young lady whose kids are moving into junior high. And we were talking about being prepared for that transition, 11, 12, 13 years old, and how difficult it is for kids to make that transition. And she just said, I hope that my kids turn out. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, well, what's your plan to help them turn out? And she had no idea what I was talking about. Well, this is what our plan is, or part of our plan here as parents. We want to lead our kids to follow Christ their whole life. And that's what our parent-led youth group is all about. Dads teach the messages. We have fellowship together with the kids, and we have a lot of fun. That's at Thursday nights, 7 o'clock. We generally do not meet the first Thursday of the month, and our schedule is back there at the Connections booth.
Awesome. And it starts in 7th grade, right?
Starts in 7th grade.
Okay. Very good. Beatrice, Des, you want to talk about, is she here to talk about her? She has a ladies' time. They're studying true spirituality. Here, she can come on up. Yeah.
So we meet on Friday mornings here at 7 a.m., and it's for women only, and it's just about encouraging each other and talking about women's stuff and mostly just helping each other to stay focused on God. And it's Friday mornings here at 7 a.m.
Very good. Scriveners, Fridays, 5 love languages. This is a new group.
Give me this. All right. Ladies, how many of you wish your husband would listen to you, talk to you, communicate with you? Raise your hands. Oh, I'm in trouble now.
Make sure you talk about it.
Guys, how many of you wished your women would like understand what you're saying? Right? Raise your hands. I got one. Sweet. All right, so Friday night, think about it this way. February, month of love. Friday, date night. We're going to work through the 5 love languages. We're going to go through a book. We're going to sit and discuss it. We'll have food. We'll have fellowship. We'll have a great time. So Friday nights, if you don't go to Paul's, come to mine.
Very good. What else we have? Fridays, Petrie's. Here we go. Another base camp. Give a little details.
It's Friday nights at our house, 7 p.m., if you need some type of child care, then get in touch with me. We'll try and work that out for you. We have treats, and I'm really excited about this base camp because I think it's a good way to start. So if you're just a new believer, I think this is the thing you got to get into for sure.
Yeah.
And if you've been a believer for a while and you may be struggling with some things, this would be another good thing. So, would love to see you.
Make sure you sign up for Base Camp if you're new with us. We really want you to go through that. What's that? So, we got anybody that didn't get a chance, that I missed some, go ahead and step right up.
Well, I am Christy, and I'm going to be hosting a small group that's a toddler play group. I have a 20-month-old girl, and when I first started coming to The Rock, that is how I met all of my close, dear lady friends through a play group. So, if you have a toddler and you're a mom and you want some fellowship and have our kids be able to play together, there is no child care because we'll be playing with the kids, obviously. And it's at 10 o'clock on Monday mornings. And I live in Sandy. My address is in the program.
So it's morning. So I've got it wrong on the slide. I apologize for that. It's 7 a.m.?
No, this is a different one. This is mine on
I missed both your groups. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah, that's okay.
How'd that happen?
Okay, and then the one that's on the screen is going to be here on Wednesday nights, and it's a prayer group, and everybody is welcome. We just want to have a time of prayer, pray for our church, any of the needs that are in the church, and our small groups, our community, and our entire world. So it'll just be a kind of a structured time of prayer, and then we'll break down and pray for individual prayers as well. And we want to let you know that even if you can only come every once in a while, you're still welcome. Anytime that you need prayer, please come on Wednesday nights at 7 to about 8, and there is childcare available.
Very good. Andrew?
My name is Andrew, and you did miss us. I wasn't going to necessarily lead a small group officially until I got convicted by a few brothers. So we're in the habit of opening up our house, as well as we know another family that committed with us to open up our house. We're just doing a fellowship and meal on Sundays, every other Sunday at 5 o'clock. So it's loosely based off of this book. It's Cooking by the Bible. It's got some neat recipes that are Old Testament and New Testament based. So if you want to know what it is to sell your birthright for a bowl of lentil soup, hope it's really good. But if not, so we're just opening up our house. I'm leading it with Joel Valdez. He's going to take the second one. I'm going to take the first one. So if you want to meet new people and open your house, sign up for it. It's going to be, child care is not provided, but we encourage family to be part of it, because when you sit down to have a family meal with your extended family, you all gather around the table. It's a little messy. It's a little uncluttered. You get to know people better, and so that's what we're opening up. There'll be a fellowship in the morning, at the start of the meal. So come back and talk with us. The first two will set up menus for the other people. It's a chance for some of those people who haven't led or opened up their house to be part of that. So that's what we're doing. And also, you can help me personally. We did a small group a little bit back, trying to feed the homeless, reach out to people. But due to change in Utah legislation and how you can serve the homeless meals, we got shut down. I have a bunch of these little packets. They're care packets with food and water and a Bible tract in them that we were going to hand out downtown. My family's been keeping them in the car. When you pull up to an intersection or an off-ramp or an on-ramp, we hand them out to people. If they really want food, come back and see one of these. If you drive by somebody a lot or you know them, we keep them in our car and just hand them out. We have bunches of them, so see us.
Awesome. All right, so you guys, give them a round of applause. They're going to lead you. You guys can go on down. Go to your tables. Thanks, guys. So the band, come on up, band. We have time for last song. So this is it. This is your opportunity. Again, small groups are the heartbeat of our church. Don't be a spiritual orphan. Today's the day you can sign up. We'll also sign up next week. They actually start Monday after the Super Bowl is when they officially start. Some of them have already kind of kicked in, but we're going to have a last song here, so let's just pray, and then we'll stand for last song, and we'll dismiss. Lord, we thank you so much for your plan for the large gathering and the small gathering. We pray, God, that you would help every one of us be involved in a relationship that's so important to your plan, and we see the example in the New Testament. So I pray, God, that you give us grace and give all these leaders, thank you for their willingness to open their homes and to serve and to bless. Thank you that people, their new best friends, are sitting in this room. I believe that. And it's through small groups. So we thank you, and we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand up?